Welcome to this edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and I am with my buddy, who I've known actually for probably a decade, but haven't seen quite some time, Joe Montgomery. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I appreciate you having me on. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here, and I'm excited to talk with you.
Absolutely. Now, do you go by Joseph or Joe?
So it depends. I got to ask my parents. Okay. Joe, my parents call me Joseph always. I mean, that's what they've called me for years, but everybody these days calls me Joe.
All right. So. And I know you as Joe.
Yep, that's perfect.
And we'll get into how I know you. But you brought us something from a company that actually we've had on before. However, Toppling Goliath has partnered with Boulevard, which is a Kansas City brewery, and it's called Haze Cadet, and I have never had this on the podcast. Have you ever had it?
I haven't myself. This is a first for me, too.
So we're gonna dive into this. Absolutely. I'll open her up for us. Appreciate you bringing this.
Absolutely.
I think about half the guests have actually brought things.
That's awesome.
And then the other, I just say, what do you want to drink? But some people are like, you got to try this. I'm like, absolutely.
For sure.
Let's do it. So Haze Cadet.
Yeah, man.
For one thing that stands out is the can.
Oh, absolutely.
Now I got to look at this can here. We have... And if anybody knows anything about Toppling Goliath, they have Pseudo Sue, which is a dinosaur.
Yep.
And so on this can, if you're watching on YouTube, you're going to see a lady looking like an astronaut riding a dinosaur.
She looks a little like a female Ronald McDonald on a dinosaur. Yes, that's kind of what I'm getting from it.
Female Ronald McDonald, yeah, absolutely. So this has in it double IPA. So this one's going to have a bang. Zit with Citra, Citra Cryo, and Strata Hops. If you listen to some of those, I think it was episode with Corey Leeske, he talked a little bit about some of these hops and what they all mean. And so this was actually brewed in Decorah, Iowa, and it's coming in at 7.8%. So let's crack this bad boy. It's a sound of refreshment. Cheers, Joe.
Hey, cheers.
Thank you for coming
on.
Thank
you, Chris.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Yeah, that's good. A little too good.
It's almost like a little bit less of a drier Pseudo Sue for me.
It is, yeah, 100%. I'm a big craft beer guy myself. I like to travel a lot, too, and one of the things I like to do is just any new place that I go to, I'm looking for a craft brewery, and every brewery I go to, I buy a glass there. I think I'm up to about 100 glasses now, so it's a little bit of a collection that I need to slow down on. But,
okay, now I want to go off of that for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you've been, do you travel for work or something?
Travel for work, travel for fun, a little
okay.
bit of both, so yeah.
Is there one brewery that stands out to you that you've been to?
Oh man, that's a tough, I honestly, like Toppling Goliath, uh-huh. down the core, I absolutely love that place.
Nice.
It's not like too small. I love the small breweries too, but it's not too small. It's not too big. It's a cozy feel, but they make such good beer.
Have you been to Surly?
I have, yeah.
So I was just there 2 weeks ago. Okay. And the reason I asked that is because when I went there, I got kind of the same feel size-wise, almost atmosphere-wise, of Toppling and that. Now, I don't know if you had the same as that when I went, but I had never been there. So I had to go try it because Surly Mosh Pit's one of my all-time favorite beers.
It's so good.
I know.
It's delicious.
But if I go down to Decorah, I always make a stop at Toppling Goliath.
100%.
And if you listen to a previous episode of mine, they actually sent my wife and I some swag when we sent them a wedding invite.
That's awesome.
And then
I actually sent
them that video or that episode, and they said, thanks for the shout out. So they're going to get this episode too with us.
That's awesome.
Now, there's a couple one-off beers that they do, it seems like, every year. They have their staples. Mm-hmm. They have their Pseudo Sue, your King Sue. But they had one that was called, This Should Have Been an Email. And that, I don't know if you ever had that one.
I can't say that I have.
But it was amazing. But this right here is darn good. And Boulevard has the unfiltered wheat beer, and I love that one.
Yes, that's actually another one I've been to down in Kansas City. Yeah,
is that one really big?
It's fairly big. They got, from what I recall, they have really good food, too. So, yeah, it's a great place.
Now, I've never been down to Kansas City, so I can't say I've ever been there at all. But I do love Boulevard Unfiltered Wheat. That was one of the beers that kind of slowly got me into, no Bud Light, no Coors Light. Just out of the light beer realm. And then Island City showed up. And I got into it a little bit more. And then I've been into it. So like you, anytime I go somewhere, I have to try at least one or two craft beers or brewery tour places. So I went on my honeymoon, and I went to a few of them in Hawaii, and that was fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. That would be a very unique experience, I'm sure. Like, how often are you going to be in Hawaii? It's like, you gotta make it. You got to make do. And
we did. Yeah. Actually, there's an app on your phone. I don't know if you have this. Mm-hmm. It's called Brewy.
Okay. I don't have it.
So if anybody's out there and you like breweries or whatever it is similar to that, it's an app, and you can, what you do is you just obviously log in, Apple, whatever you want to do, and then you can go on there and you can click that you've been there, so at least you know you've been there. You can leave a review, hopefully other people have, so you know. Right. But then it gives you an idea of where new ones are at, and then if one hasn't actually, isn't on the location, you can tell them to add it, and then they'll look into it. But it was really good because it helped me in Hawaii.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. So, yeah, it gives you some insight, which you might like, and yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know, man. This beer is... I got to read the back of this here.
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
On a strange and faraway planet, Boulevard Brewing Co. and Toppling Goliath Brewing Co. stumbled upon each other, joined forces for the first time ever, and created a DIPA, which is a double Indian pale ale, worth exploring, featuring Citra, Citra Cryo, and Strata hops. So this is, I don't know.
Absolutely, man. I see Citra and I see Strata, and that's right up my alley.
Yes, so
it's,
it is.
It's hard to not
buy
it.
This is a summer IPA for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I love IPAs all year long, but this is one I could take on the river, and I've said this multiple times. Take it on the river, and you got to be careful with these.
100%.
Because they'll sneak up on you. Absolutely. I was just talking to a girl who was on the podcast before. She goes, yeah, have you ever just like accidentally got drunk on something? I go, yep. IPAs, if you're sitting and you have a couple of them and you stand up, I'm like, you'll be like, whoa, wait, I better stop.
Yeah, absolutely. They absolutely sneak up on you, especially like you said, you're sitting down and you're going to get up and do something and you're like, okay, slow down.
That's why I got the waters.
Absolutely. That's a good balance.
You got a water, balance. Joe.
Perfect.
Now, Joe, you and me, we go back a little ways. I would say at least a decade because I first met you actually playing amateur baseball.
Yes, sir.
If I didn't have you on Facebook and I had seen you then to now and you said hi to me, I wouldn't have recognized you.
Oh, yeah.
You had a huge beard, much longer hair.
Yes, sir.
And now you 100%. Have shorter hair, shorter beard.
Yeah, man. I think it kind of speaks to just different chapters of life for me. Like, it's back then, it's just kind of, you know, a little raggedy. I'm like, I don't really care. But now I'm kind of like, well, let's make the change, I guess.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Now, was that the last year we played baseball? Was with that year?
I think it was. Yeah, I actually played. I played with the Chiefs for maybe a season, and then I think it was through a Lewiston team that we started playing together.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I think that was the last year. I think we played maybe 2 or 3 years on that team over the summers. I can't recall for sure, but that was the last year I played baseball. And now it's the transition into slow pitch softball, which is a blast. Absolutely love it. Different game, but it's still a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I played with the Chiefs for a couple seasons, and then this is back in 2007. So
oh, sure, yeah.
Slightly.
Yeah.
I don't know how old you are. I'm 36.
Okay, 32. We'll be 32 in like a week.
Okay, so we're about 5 years difference-ish. Yeah. So I started playing amateur wood bat league in 2007. I got a call from the Chiefs. I think I was with them for like 2 years, and then I just wasn't getting much playing time, and so then I went to the St. Charles Sting, and then I moved down to Atlanta. And when I moved back here to Winona, there was no St. Charles Sting. I mean, we could barely feel the team anyways at that point. But then it was a Tri-County Tremor.
Yes, sir.
And that was. That's where you and I met. Mm-hmm. And so that was a very fun season, but that was my last season playing amateur baseball.
Yeah.
And like you said, the transition to softball. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure your feelings, but my feelings were baseball's fun. I think I had like just over a 300 batting average that year, but I was like, no one's scouting me.
Right, yeah.
And every game is about 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And then if it's not a home game, you're traveling.
Yes, hour and a half sometimes. Like, you're traveling a ways on, you know, weekdays, weekends, doesn't really matter. It's, I mean, obviously, you know, minor league baseball travel, but it's still, I mean, it's a commitment to play. And, you know, sometimes you have an off game and it's just not a great night and it feels like almost like a day wasted a little bit.
I know. Yeah, that's how I feel about wrestling. Now, you probably know that I wrestle.
Yeah, yeah.
And so do other people. But I was always like trying to make my match as perfect as possible because I didn't want to waste a day.
Right.
Because like you said, it's like a waste of a game or a waste of – because here's how I did things. When I was in amateur baseball, I show up an hour before game time. I would get warmed up, mm-hmm. do my stuff, whatever. 3-hour game. So there's 4 hours right there if it's a home game.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you're traveling an hour and a half, tack on 3 more hours to that, and it's like a whole day, like you said, wasted, yeah, possibly.
Absolutely. You got a whole work day pretty much right there. And it's a commitment. It's a lot of fun, but it is a commitment. And, you know, that transition to just slow pitch softball in the city leagues, it's like you show up 15 minutes before you play. You play the game, and you might be home in an hour. It's a lot of fun still. It's a whole different ball, literally a whole different ball game.
Pun intended.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's how I feel too. I'm like, man, you know, if I was getting scouted, different story.
Absolutely.
Yeah, different story. Absolutely. Then I'll make that work. But
yeah.
I don't think they're looking for a guy just batting over 300 at 25 years old.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure they're like, well, you know, there's the movie The Rookie.
There you go. Yeah.
Never say never.
There's always hope. Yeah.
there's always hope.
Absolutely.
That, but he's a pitcher and he's a lefty. So right, damn right. it. He's got everything for him.
Exactly. Yep.
So, okay. So the last time we had played, or actually really probably talked, was probably 2014-15 area, I bet you.
Probably, yeah. Honestly, yeah. It was probably back then. Yeah. Summer baseball. I think that was, you know, that might have been, I graduated college in 2015. So
you'd been fresh. Out of college.
Yeah, it was like the summer between college or right out of college we were playing. And so, it was a blast. But it has been a minute since we've actually sat down and been able to chat a little bit. So.
Yeah. Here's the other thing is all those years before that, I played with the St. Charles Sting. Mm-hmm. I think we won maybe 1 or 2 games in about 4 years.
Yeah.
And we actually were about, I think the year we played as maybe 500 we were.
Yeah, yeah, we were a decent team.
Yeah, we weren't bad. We had a lot of young guys, and mm-hmm. I remember I was like 25, and I felt like the old guy in the team. Right. And I'm like, nah, wait. I'm like, yeah, 21, 22, some of these guys are. But nowadays I find myself actually, I get along a lot with the late 20-year-old people. And maybe it's because I don't have any kids yet.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it is.
Sure.
But I get along with them. So now you're transitioning to softball. Mm-hmm. And what are you up to for work now?
So I've been doing the same job I have been since I graduated college. And within 3 weeks, I started work as an electrical engineer.
So what does an electrical engineer do?
So it's a little bit of everything when it gets into electronics. And what kind of got me into it from a young age was ripping apart my car stereos, putting new things in, putting speakers every which way. And now, I mean, knowing that doesn't really do a whole lot as I've learned more. But, you know, with my job, it can be anything from troubleshooting to circuit board design to, you know, documentation. Technical writing, there's a whole range of things that it can entail. So
sure. So what kind of stereo do you have in your car?
Oh, man. I wish I could remember.
Was it Alpine?
I don't know if it was even Alpine. It was
No.
I had some of the low tier stuff, the stuff I could barely afford. So,
so you're just tinkering around basically.
100%,
just thought it was kind of fun and
absolutely
loved
it,
yeah.
Yep, and I think that's kind of carried into my adult life a bit too. I know you're a realtor yourself.
Yep.
And I owned a duplex for a while. I renovated that. I sold it last year. I've been renovating my current house, just had it down to the bones, but I love just tinkering with things, learning. It's just something I become passionate about. Just really excited to learn things.
So, well, I totally understand that because literally doing this, not a hands-on job, but learning the audio, video, just trying to get myself out there. It is tinkering around, finding what works out.
Absolutely.
So when it comes to, you just like working with your hands, it sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like to learn. Usually the first time around, whatever I do is terrible. It usually sucks. But that's kind of the point. It's like you learn that way. And that's how I learn is by doing. And, you know, growing up in sports and athletics, like I could be told something, but I was so much better at getting a grasp if I could watch somebody do it and learn with my hands and by doing. So that's kind of how I've always learned.
Yeah, I'm totally the same way. I need a visual. And I, as some people know, I'm also a teacher as well as a real estate agent. I always tell my kids, they go, okay, I'm going to tell you this, but for those who are visual learners, here's this. Mm-hmm. And I try to get both ends because some kids can listen to me and go, oh, got it. Good to go.
Yeah.
And there's me. I'm like, I need to see that. And I need to watch someone do that quick. And then I'll just replicate that.
Absolutely.
So
yeah,
that's awesome. Did you have any good cars when you grow up?
Oh man, no, it was, and I mean, shout out to my parents. I love my parents; they're amazing. But it was like the cheapest car we could find.
Sure.
So I drove a '94 Buick LeSabre for probably 10 years of my life.
With the best system in it.
Oh yeah, yeah, the best system I could afford, which was again the lowest tier, more than likely.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had fun with it. I really did. And again, that kind of sparked my interest into what I pursued in college. And from the get-go, electronics are tough. Like, you can't see electricity.
That's right.
It's like, you look at...
You can feel it, though.
Oh, yeah, 100%. The number of times I've shocked myself, like, switching an outlet or something. Sure, it's like... Sure. But that was always the hard part is, again, being able to see what you're doing and learn with your hands. It's a little bit harder when you're dealing with something that you can't physically see. And so it was just a lot of learning how to learn, almost.
Sure.
That's how I might put it. So, yeah.
So when you're doing something mm-hmm. where you can't see it, how do you guarantee you're not going to I'm going with the electrical side.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you guarantee you're not going to hurt yourself?
It's, oh, man. You have to just take precaution. Like, you, well, again, if I use this outlet example, like, you got to flip the breaker. You got to take these steps where you're protecting yourself and trusting that things are done the right way. But that's not always the case.
Sure.
And sometimes you flip a breaker that's supposed to be tied to that outlet, and it's not. And, you know, it's happened a couple times. You shock yourself, and you kind of live and learn that, hey, maybe I actually use, you know, a probe or something to make sure this thing is actually off. And so... in engineering, that's kind of been my experience, is you have to find ways to, as a visual learner, you have to find ways to make it visual for yourself.
Okay.
And make it hands-on. And, it's makes it challenging being a visual learner, I think.
Okay. So. Now, you've been shocked.
Yes.
This is what interests me.
Yeah.
What does it feel like?
It does, to me, it doesn't hurt. It's it scares you. Like nothing else.
Sure.
But I've actually used this example. The first time was actually when we were camping when I was younger, and I was like in a tent, couldn't see anything. I was trying to like plug some lamp in and didn't realize I had my fingers stuck between the prongs of the extension cord. Finally found it, and I thought something was like chewing on my finger. That's kind of how I describe it. Like, it just felt like my finger just lost control and something was biting it almost. Really strange, but that's kind of how I would describe it.
So the pain isn't that much. It's just kind of like a
really strange feeling, and it scares you more than anything. But it honestly okay. doesn't really hurt. Not advertising like, hey, go shock yourself for fun and try it.
But don't do that.
Disclaimers. But yeah, don't do that. But yeah, it just scares you more than anything.
In high school, there was a kid that stuck a fork into the outlet.
Yeah, not a great idea.
Not a great idea, but I remember that. He's 100%. Like, I'm going to do this. And all of a sudden, a big blue flash happened. And I was like,
geez. Yeah.
The wow. teacher came out and was wondering what was going on. So I was like, yeah. What the hell?
Yep, yeah.
Cool. So now what else you've been doing on the side? You're doing softball. You're working as an electrical engineer.
That's right. Yep.
What else is going on in your life?
Man, the biggest thing has just been, it's kind of that, you know, there's the daily grind of work, and I'm in the process of working on my house. Those have been two things that just consume a lot of my time. But, some other things that I really enjoy doing are, I go to my local church. I have a young adults group I go to there. I've made
okay.
some great friends there. Otherwise, I mean, softball, trying to stay in shape because, man, I'm now on four knee surgeries on my right knee, and it's just a battle trying to get back into some of the things that I love to do, because for me, that, you know, being active and involved in athletics and things like that is a way for me to, like, it helps my mental health a lot. Like, it helps me to stay sane a little bit. I've always been active. I've always been in sports. And so when I don't have these things, like, I love to play basketball, absolutely love to play basketball. And when I don't have that, it makes it really hard to sometimes just navigate the daily life.
Sure.
But
what's the knee issues from? Something specific?
So it's been, honestly, I think it's been mostly chronic stuff.
Okay.
The first surgery went way back to high school, like a little meniscus thing. and then like 2019, I mean, this has been like 5 years since I've actually felt healthy. But 2019 just felt kind of a pop in my knee playing basketball. They went in and just cleaned stuff out. Tried to get back to playing 2 weeks later after surgery. Not a good idea. Don't do that.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, it just never quite healed right. And so 2021, again, had another surgery that was a lot more invasive. That took like 6 months to heal. And then this most recent one, again, was a separate issue, but again, it was another 6 month recovery. There was 6 weeks of strictly no weight on the leg. So I was sitting in a recliner, just days on end.
Oh, it's miserable.
It was miserable. Yeah. Especially, I mean, I know you're, you know, athletic too and into athletics and everything. And it's hard to just be held up like that.
It's like being a prisoner in your own body.
It is. 100%. You're just like, yeah.
I can't do anything. Did you find anything to do while other than going back and re-aggravating it? Was there something you found that, hey, I got excited about this while I was in this process of healing? Was there something you did, athletic or not athletic, that took your mind off of it?
So, I mean, part of it was just trying to make sure I kept the connection, like the people that I typically talk to.
Yep.
And just keep those, continue to talk to people and not just let myself start to spiral and kind of get lost in,
sure,
in where I'm at and being in the shell of yourself and in your own prison.
Just close your door.
Yeah, sure.
There you go.
but yeah, it's I think some of the things I tried to do when I was, held up, I tried to do a better job just reading. Like,
okay.
For me, I'll buy books like crazy, but I'm terrible at actually diving in and sticking with reading all the way through them. So that's something I want to work on. It's one of these things I want to learn to be better at, and an area of improvement. But again, being held up, it's a lot of it was just trying to talk to people.
Was there any, I want to go back out the book portion because
yeah.
I would read in the sauna and people thought I was weird.
Okay. Okay. Like, sure.
Well, you're reading in the sauna. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, once I can't focus and I know I've been in here for too long because I'm getting, it's like about a 12 minute point. And I was like, I can't focus on what I'm doing because I'm just so hot. I would go to the used bookstore in town
and
I would just search their shelf for something because me reading a book is like 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, about 6 days a week. So you have an hour's worth of reading, and I don't read the fastest because I want to make sure I comprehend what I'm doing.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So each book would take me about a quarter of a year, I would say.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And I read when I was doing this. Now I like to listen to podcasts while I'm in the sauna.
100%.
I had Jesse Ventura's book from 1999, I think it was.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Very interesting because it was talking about his early life to when he started getting into politics, and then that's obviously where it ended because it was 1999, so it didn't go any further, but it was really interesting reading his book. And then I was reading another one that was by, I think, a guy that was on like one of those, like The Bachelor or a love show like that.
Okay, gotcha.
It was just talking about his life and how he progressed to what he was doing, but the in-between this part of his life and where he was on this reality show, how he was just miserable doing his 9-to-5. And he talked about the Sunday scaries. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, absolutely.
And he's like, I didn't want to do this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to go through, I'm looking forward to Friday. All right, now there's Saturday. And then all of a sudden Sunday evening comes, you're like, oh, crap. Got to go back to work.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking to myself, I'm like, that's really good. And I don't really recall ever being like, oh, the Sunday scaries.
Now, there's
things in your job that you obviously have to perform and do things at, but I never had that. I was like, oh, the week starts again. I get to go back to the gym. I was always excited about that.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's a book that really resonated with you because I had a couple of them. But then, obviously, podcasts have taken a big part of my life, obviously, now at
100%,
this point.
100%, yeah.
Any podcasts out there you'd like to listen to?
Oh, man, I'm a big fan of, like, Armchair Expert. I know we were just talking about that a little bit before the podcast started. But, Dax is a great interviewer. I love their format. And it's fun to hear, you know, people that you see in movies or athletes or, you know, whatever the case may be. And it's just a conversation. Like, it kind of humanizes them a little bit.
Right.
So I feel like a lot of times you see these people and they're just bigger than life itself. And so when you get to see them in a conversation like that, it just brings it down to like a realistic, it brings it down to reality.
Sure.
Makes them seem like a real person. So I can really appreciate that. And then, I mean, I like a lot of true crime podcasts too.
Okay.
So it's, I don't know, for some reason, interesting. I don't know why it's so such an interesting topic, but it just is.
Well, so. I like to listen to Armchair Expert. I like to listen to Joe Rogan.
Oh, sure.
The Nelk Boys. You know, there's a bunch of them out there. And then if I had to go off something that's a little stranger, conspiracy theories.
Okay, right on.
I like to, it's not that I believe in these conspiracy theories. I like to hear other people's sides of things.
Oh, sure.
Like,
yeah.
How did you come up with, I think the Earth is flat? Or how did you come up with, the moon landing was a hoax and stuff like that. I just like to hear their side of things. Not that I believe it, just want to hear it.
Yeah, hear the story, hear how they got there. It definitely is interesting. It's a story, really. And I love a good story. And whether it's based in truth or not, like that's I'm here for it.
That's exactly right. Now, the one thing you contacted me and you were talking to me that you wanted to come on the podcast and you want to talk about men's mental health.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you said it's become a big thing for you right now. And actually, this month of June is Men's Mental Health Awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't really know where to go with this conversation.
Yeah.
Because this is something I don't know much about. And sure. I want to know what the passion is for you on this portion.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'll just start off by saying, kind of making a disclaimer that I can only speak from my experience. Like,
sure.
I'm not a therapist. I'm not a counselor. I haven't, you know, studied anything professionally, but I can talk from my experience as a man who's dealt with some trauma in life.
Sure.
And just didn't know how to handle it. And just I've been to some really dark places, and trying to learn how to navigate that was a challenge. And so that's really where it comes in is, you know, men's mental health still is, I mean, it's stigmatized. Like there's a stigma around it. It's hard to open up as a man.
Sure.
And I mean, a lot of the things I say can be applied to anybody for sure. But again, my experience as a man, like that's what I've really become passionate about, because I've seen my fellow brothers just struggle themselves. And if I can, you know, if this podcast or if this talk just hits one person and it helps them navigate something, like that's worth it to me.
Absolutely.
And so that's kind of what I am just excited to talk about. And if I can share my story and show my, you know, be open and vulnerable and just real about the struggles that I've kind of gone through, and it helps someone else to do the same, like again, that's totally worth it to me.
Okay. So, now the stigma, when I think of men's mental health is men are supposed to be strong. Mm-hmm. So you've been in it, you grin and bear it, as they've said.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just got to take it, and you just got to be the stronger mm-hmm. of the two sexes of men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And men just have to deal with it, and they're not supposed to express their feelings.
Right.
Now, is that the stigma you were talking about, or is there something?
Yeah, that's essentially kind of what that's kind of the stigma that I, you know, maybe there's others, but that's the one I'm aware of. And, you know, I kind of grew up the same way, and I still do believe in kind of that, you know, the traditional roles and how that looks. But, you know, as a man, you know, growing up, you know, I myself was not good at, you know, expressing certain things. And like you said, you're just supposed to be strong. And being an athlete, you suck it up. You want to be the best you can. You don't want to show weakness.
Right.
That's just kind of how you're coached. And it definitely works on the sport. It works in any kind of sport to just push through it and persevere. But I think for me especially, and again, I'm sure it can apply to a lot of people, but for me, that resulted in not understanding or even knowing how to like process negative emotions or feelings or circumstances or confrontation. Like for me, it just became, let's brush it under the rug.
Sure.
Like I'm not gonna, you know, again, as an engineer, when something arises that's not good or it's negative or it's confrontation or whatever, I want to fix it. Like I want to fix it right away. I want this negative thing to be in the past as fast as possible. And for me, that just kind of ends up looking like sweeping it under the rug. And mm-hmm. so I'm not actually dealing with these things. I'm not processing. I'm not sitting with that and letting myself feel these things. I'm just trying to get past it so I can get back to the good stuff, the sunshine, the rainbows.
Yep.
And I just think that's the case for a lot of guys, because it absolutely was for me.
Okay.
So,
is there a time that you remember, like, hey, I might have a mental struggle with something? Is there one key point that in your life you go, oh, man, I think I'm dealing with something here. I'm just not sure.
Yeah. And so for me, I was always quiet. Shy growing up.
Sure.
I was actually homeschooled up until ninth grade.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, it kind of, there's, yeah. you know, kind of the stereotypical homeschool kid, and then, you know, going to high school and everything. But I was always shy, quiet. And I didn't really realize that I was an anxious kid. And it wasn't until years later that I realized it was like I had an anxiety disorder. So I have like general anxiety disorder and severe depressive episodes. They're, I guess, two actual diagnoses.
Okay.
And so those two kind of play hand in hand. And when I look back at a lot of the ways that I went about things and handled things, I can definitely see that I was coming from a place of fear. Like, anxiety just provokes this fear. It's really visceral, really real, and it doesn't make any sense, because I could be going to a place with a lot of people and just be like scared. It's weird. Sure. Like, this doesn't make any sense that you would feel fear just being around people. And for me, maybe 20 minutes in, that fear's gone. And it took me a long time to actually realize that was the case for me. But I didn't really start to realize it until kind of my late 20s. And for me, the thing that really broke the camel's back was going through a divorce.
Okay.
And I'm not going to dive into details on that, but for me, it felt like it tore down. Like, for me, I felt like everything that I had built up about myself just fell away. Like, okay. Nothing else was important. And so at that point, I finally realized that I need to do something about this. Like, I'm dealing with something that I don't understand. I am dealing with something that just, I've always operated one way, and I didn't realize that I was naturally just pushing these negative things away. And so I started going to counseling and therapy, and actually, it's kind of funny, at one point I was seeing three different counselors or therapists a week, which is kind of crazy. But one was from my church. One was actually a couples counselor, and one was just a one-on-one.
Okay.
And so one thing I really wanted to highlight was that as far as counseling and therapy goes, like, it can be a scary thing and it's very unknown. But all a counselor or a therapist wants to do is just provide an environment for you to be able to talk about things and just help you be able to navigate, like, and realize kind of what you're feeling and what might be a path forward. And so, I'm a big advocate of seeking therapy, counseling. Like, I'm more than happy to be there for somebody too. Like, again, I'm no expert, but just having gone through some of the things that I have, I've learned how to listen and how to be there and be there for people.
Sure. Now, yeah. I want to go back to, you said,
yeah,
anxiety, you are an anxious person.
Mm-hmm.
What did that feeling feel like, I guess, because I hear it a lot.
Sure.
I hear I have anxiety disorder, but I don't know what that actually means. Mm-hmm. I don't think I have it, but maybe, who knows?
Sure.
But yeah. What does that mean, I guess, or how does that feel?
Yeah. Yeah, for me, I can actually speak to it just today, because I was very anxious just, you know, coming on the show.
Sure.
And for me, I think maybe it can look different for different people, mm-hmm. but for me, it feels like fear.
Okay.
It feels like I don't know, it's almost like fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
It's venturing outside of that security or that comfort of what you know.
Sure.
And venturing into something that you don't know. And that can be scary. And with anxiety for me, sometimes those things start to ruminate and they just start to spiral and just really plant root. And when you get in these spirals of anxiety, it can be just debilitating. Like, you you can't even think straight. You can't imagine doing anything. So you're just trying to, like, figure out a way to get out of that spiral. And for me, there's been certain things that I've kind of learned to do when I'm dealing with that to help me kind of navigate and get out of those ruts.
Okay.
Again, for me, anxiety is very, very much like fear.
Okay.
So
fear. So I kind of get that sometimes too. I get anxious when I'm about to do a podcast episode.
Sure.
And it's probably for maybe a different reason, as I'm more excited.
Sure. Like,
yeah. I want this to turn out perfect. I want it turned out great.
100%.
Whatever it is. And I'm anxious. I'm like, let's just get it going. Let's just get it rolling. And once we get rolling, I'm like, I'm good. I'm ready. I'm relaxed. This is awesome.
Yeah.
So that's what anxiety is, or at least being anxious to me is.
Sure.
Whereas it could be maybe fear for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe my fear is I want things to go perfect.
Yeah.
Whereas nothing's ever going to go perfect.
Right.
And you never know if something's going to be. So, okay. How did you learn how to deal with those things then? Besides just talking to people? Was that?
Yeah. I think so. One of the biggest things for me was, when I decided to do something about, you know, I didn't really know what was going on at the time, but when I decided to take action and do something about the way I was feeling, I was like, I had to make the decision that I'm just going to be completely open. Like,
sure.
I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm not going to try to bury things anymore, sweep things under the rug. I'm just going to open up. I didn't care who it was to. I'm an open book on everything.
Okay.
And so for me, that was a big turning point. And honestly, it's helped me to feel much more genuine just as a person, mm-hmm. much more authentic. I'm not trying to hide anything. You know, it kind of makes me think of a quote from, I don't know if you've ever seen the show, This Is Us.
This Is Us.
Real tragic show.
Then I probably have not seen it, no.
But in one of the episodes, and I'm going to paraphrase, but one of the doctors talks about how there are, you know, beautiful things that happen in life and there's tragedies. And you can't have one without the other. Like, just naturally, they both are going to exist. And you can't try to shove one under the rug. You can't hide it. But if you can find a way to let those two things coexist, life is going to have a way of turning out more beautiful than tragic.
Sure.
And I thought that just has stuck with me for years. And I think that's just a really powerful thing to remember, that, you know, you might be in the darkest place you've ever been in your life, but you can't have darkness without light. And so just knowing that this too shall pass, this darkness will pass, there is hope, there's light. I think knowing that and understanding that and remembering that is so powerful.
So now you were talking about you went to three different people mm-hmm. and kind of talked to them to get back into just basically almost like venting, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you feel at first doing that?
I think so. Going to a counselor's office, a therapist's office for the first time is very intimidating.
Sure.
And I think, again, kind of getting back to the stigma of mental health with men, it felt like I was showing weakness. Like, I was letting it all out. I felt like I was taking a step down because I couldn't handle this myself. Like, I wasn't strong enough to handle it all by myself.
Sure.
And so that was really hard at first, because it feels like you're admitting that you can't do this on your own. And as a man, I think that's hard.
Asking for help is always hard.
So hard. I was just talking to somebody the other day, just, you know, kind of joking, whenever I buy something, I never look at the instructions. Like, even at that level, like, I'm trying to do it myself. I'm trying to figure it out on my own.
Such a man.
And I think that's like just a little microcosm of how it is to be a man. Like, it's so hard to ask for help in so many different ways. And so for me, going to that therapist's office for the first time, it's like, I almost felt humiliated, honestly.
Sure.
Like, it felt very humiliating. And after a few times of going, I'm like, this is actually, it's not humiliating, it's humbling. And I'm so thankful that I did. And honestly, I've thought about even in chapters of life or stages of life when I'm in a good place of continuing to go see them, and almost in like a life coach kind of manner. A lot of counselors and therapists will also do what they call life coaching and just kind of help you navigate the next steps or whatever the case might be. But again, first time showing up, it's really intimidating, but a therapist isn't there to like tell you everything that's wrong with you. Like, that's not what they're trying to do. All they're there to do is listen to you. And if you're willing to you can just let it out. Like, whatever's on your mind, whatever's on your heart, just let it out. Like, they're there to help you understand and navigate these feelings. And I think that's far and away the most beautiful thing that they're able to do.
Was there one of the, you said you went to three different people, mm-hmm. right? Was there one that you felt more comfortable with or not? Or they were doing different things, so you felt comfortable in certain aspects?
Yeah.
Because I have friends that I would talk about deeper feelings with than a different friend.
Absolutely.
And to me, it's like having two different counselors. There's one I'm willing to say this to, and there's another one I'm not willing to do that to.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think naturally they kind of took on different roles or areas.
Excuse me.
They took on different roles or areas of my life naturally. Again, I was seeing a couples counselor because at the time was, you know, the end of a marriage,
sure.
hard thing to navigate. And then I called her just a one-on-one counselor, just kind of helping me learn to navigate these feelings of grief and kind of the trauma I was going through. And then lastly was, he's a good friend of mine from church. I was meeting with him once a week too, and he gave me kind of the biblical Christian perspective, which is, again, that's where I'm rooted in I'm a man of faith and from a Christian background, and
sure.
So he was really able to help me, again, from a biblical perspective, navigate things.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Now, when you go to counseling, is it more of, are you looking for someone to kind of vent to, quote unquote, or are you looking for guidance and help?
Sometimes I think it can be both. Like,
okay.
For me, right off the bat, I didn't know what I was looking for. You know, I went in and I'm like, I don't know. I need help.
Sure.
I feel lost. I don't know which way's up. And that's enough for a therapist to work with. Like,
okay.
They're there to, whether you need to vent, whether you need direction, whether you need both or anything in between, they're so good at just fostering an environment where you're able to express yourself in just a really safe and healthy way. Yep. That's the whole goal, is to just create this environment where you're not going to be judged. You're not going to be told you're right or wrong for this or that. The biggest thing they're trying to do is just validate your experience. Like, my experience to this point right now is all I've ever known. Same thing for you, your experience up until this point, all you've ever known, both completely valid experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And you should have every right to be able to talk about that freely and openly and not fear that you're going to be judged. And that's what therapists are so good at, is,
sure.
is just allowing you to get that stuff out. And so, yeah, I can't recommend it enough.
Well, you know, the reason I ask this is because sometimes my wife wants to tell me a problem,
mm-hmm.
and I go, are you wanting to vent? Or are you looking for some sort of advice? Because I want to know which role to play.
100%, absolutely.
So if I know it's already going to go into something deep, I'm like, are you venting or do you want help?
Mm-hmm.
And she'll tell me one or the other, because as a man, in my experience, we want to help fix a problem.
Yep.
And you already said that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And
100%.
So I always tell her, and I already know what's going to get there. I'm like, what are you looking for? And sometimes she'll say, I just want to vent. And I'm like, perfect. Because then I don't want to interrupt her and say, oh, this is what you should do. Because all she's doing is just maybe bitching about something that just happened that
sure.
day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or maybe something is the problem. I'm like, okay, I'll try to help you fix it. Or maybe this is a step to try. Whatever. So I always like to do.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm so cut and dry when it comes to my wife. I'm just like, which one are you doing? so I know what role to play. And maybe a therapist is, they already know what to do.
Right. But that's, I mean, that's a great thing that you do, though. Like, that's good communication and good communication skills. It's like being able to, like, just communicate what the other person needs in that moment. That's huge.
Now, I want to go back to your experience. Is there one thing that one of the people that you went to said that was like, man, that resonates with me? I can really absolutely use that in my life.
Man, that's tough.
There's probably multiple things, but if there's multiple, that's cool too.
Yeah, I think, well, I might start off with, again, talking to my biblical counselor, and this, again, comes from my perspective of you know, being in my faith and everything, but he shared a passage out of Philippians 4, which is just to really paraphrase, it's, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, present your request to God, and he will give you peace that transcends all understanding.
Sure.
And to me, that, like, peace that transcends all understanding is, like, that's, and you can't wrap your mind around it, obviously, but it's comforting to me, and it's, mm-hmm. it's something that I know, like, it's something that God offers me. And so that has been something. Actually, I have it tattooed on my wrist.
Really?
Let's see. A little reminder. So you can kind of see it right up there.
It's four.
Yeah. And
what else we got out here?
Well, there's all kinds of stuff. This is my grandma. I mean, you might not be able to see it from the
camera.
If
you're watching on YouTube,
yeah,
y'all, this is probably zoom in. But yeah, Joe's got some. You're going to explain what it is.
Yeah. So that's actually my grandparents' farm.
Sure.
Spent a lot of time there growing up. I have 16 tattoos now.
Okay.
Kind of all over the place. But that's a whole nother. I, again, obviously love tattoos, but can get a whole nother topic to dive down someday. But another one I might mention, and this is something I haven't really talked to many people about at all.
Okay.
So you see the, there's a semicolon. It's sideways, right up. Semicolon. So right up here.
All
right.
Is it like a flower? Is that what
you're
talking
about? So right in.
Or a 4.9.
So right there. The semicolon.
Okay. Yep. See it.
So it's a pretty powerful symbol in the arena of mental health.
Okay.
So a semicolon, a lot of times an author will use a semicolon when, like, they could have ended a sentence, but they decided not to. They had more to say.
Sure.
And so that semicolon is a kind of a symbol in the mental health world of a time when someone decided not to end their life. Because, and that's, I should add the disclaimer, like, I've been in really dark places. I've never made plans or anything like that, but my mind has got to the point where I'm like, I don't see a point to life anymore.
Sure.
I've been in that place. And just want you all to know that there is absolutely hope always. And so having been to that place and kind of come out of that, knowing that there's light and there's hope, you know, that's, again, another reason that's, it's been such a thing I'm passionate about. And deciding not to end that sentence and continue the story, continue the chapters, continue writing your book. I think there's so much power behind that. So that's the reason for that little tattoo.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And you're right, because it is. You're right. A semicolon expresses there's more to it, mm-hmm. and that's good that you – so you said you've been to a dark place, so.
Yeah. There's been times, and, you know, as recently as healing from this knee.
Right.
This most recent surgery, again, my fourth one, required not using that leg for 6 weeks, so it was just sitting constantly.
Sure.
And so I've been to a place where I'm like, I can't even do the things that I would like to do, like shoot hoops, be active. I can't do so many of the things that I like to be able to just escape, and you just feel so stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And so having been to, you know, that place, and you just start to ruminate and you get stuck and you're like, this is just never going to end. And again, you tie in a lot of different factors to it too. Like, I even get into, you know, talking about like the dating world, like, you know, I my hope is to one day be married and have a family of my own.
Sure.
And just to feel like that's going nowhere, and things just start to feel pointless, and you start to get in that cycle, kind of like those anxiety spirals. It just torpedoes on you, and you get into these states of these, again, this severe depressive episodes where you're like, I just don't see a point. And like, it can be really, really heavy. And so that's, again, where counseling and therapy and just having people in your life to lean on,
yep,
like that's huge. And this little fly right
this
here,
damn fly won't get out of here, yeah, folks. If you're watching on YouTube and you see Joe focusing on something, it's a fly. It's a fly.
Yeah.
Actually, there's two of them.
Oh, jeez.
Bastards. Hey, this is a real garage, folks. So, I want to go back. Yeah. So you said you look at this and there's things going on. And you're like, man, it just seems like no hope. Mm-hmm. What has brought you from down here to coming out?
Yeah.
I'm doing visual things.
Yeah.
You went down to a hole, and mm-hmm, now it's like, I got to dig my way out.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, other than your faith, what have you been able to do worldly that takes your mind off of those things as well?
100%. Yeah. So a lot of times I've kind of used, you know, again, being visual, kind of use different analogies and visuals for myself. And, I often think of like, at my worst, I didn't have the ability to just stand on my own. Like, I needed people to hold me up until I could get my footing again.
Sure.
And so I so much relied on my family, my parents, my friends. They were so huge. And at just being there for me and being in some of those really dark places, I just needed to be able to talk to somebody.
Yep. Damn, these flies are all over.
They want the beer, I think.
Let them have the beer. Come get the beer. Yeah. Get them drunk. Is that what they're wanting? I hope so. They get them drunk and they'll just fall apart.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, you found some things that worked for you, and that's fantastic.
Yeah.
What would you say to someone that may be going through this? What first step they should do? I mean, how do you even know when you're starting to get to that area?
Yeah, I think it's tough. I think a lot of times people will almost hit like a breaking point a little bit. Sometimes.
And what kind of breaking point are we talking?
Yeah. Well, again, for me, it's you know, a very significant event for me was just this divorce.
Sure.
That was the thing that I went through a phase of, I think it was like 5 weeks. I couldn't eat anything.
Really?
I lost 30 pounds. I was already in good shape and I lost 30 pounds in 6 weeks or 5 weeks or something like that.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. And I just, like, I couldn't even imagine eating food. Like, it was in such a bad place. But the biggest thing and the hardest thing to do ultimately is make the decision to just be open.
Yep.
That's, to me, that is the decision to make. And whether it's to your spouse, your parents, your best friend, your siblings, whoever it might be, if you can make that decision to just say, hey, I'm going to let somebody see even the parts of me that I haven't shown anybody before. Like, that step in my mind is the biggest step towards healing that you can take. And I hear the analogy a lot too, where, you know, there might be two people that, let me back up. I oftentimes will compare like my past or my trauma or the things I've gone through to somebody else who's been through arguably far worse or objectively, you know, far worse things than I could ever imagine. But someone who's drowning in 100 feet of water and someone who's drowning in 10 feet of water, both people are still drowning.
Sure. Oh, sure.
And so it doesn't pay to try and belittle your experience or your healing journey or what you've gone through.
Yep.
Like, man, I tell you what, these flies.
Dude, I've never had so many flies. And these love me. I wish you loved me, actually, for one time. So it wouldn't be bothering my guests.
Oh, no, it's no worries. It's all good. But, yeah, I mean, I think the thing for everybody to remember is that your life, your experience, everything you've been through is valid. It's reality. It's truth for you. Like, mm-hmm, you can't belittle that.
Sure.
Your story is just as valid as the next person's. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't, you know, your future, you don't know what that holds, but you just have to remember that your story matters too. And, you know, continue to write your chapters, continue to write your story. Don't put the period, put the semicolon.
Absolutely.
Just keep going. So, yeah.
Who was one person that helped, other than the therapist,
mm-hmm,
who were people that you were able to say, hey, I think this is an issue for me, and you felt comfortable? Was it mom, dad, friends, uncle, aunt?
I would, so for me, it was, so my mom and dad, for sure. Absolutely love them to death. I talk to them daily still. Doesn't matter what the topic, I can talk to them about anything. I'm so thankful for them. Happy Father's Day, Dad, by the way. but yeah, I've always had a really good relationship with them, and I know not everybody does have a great relationship with their parents. I'm really thankful that I do. And then some of my really close friends, they were there for me too. At the worst point, I felt like I needed to be talking to somebody constantly.
Yeah.
So I would cycle through the people that I know. I call my dad, I call my mom, I call this friend, I call that friend, and just I constantly needed to be talking to somebody, because otherwise I'd get in these spirals of just like dread and depressive thoughts and anxious thoughts, and it's just I couldn't handle being in that space. And so for those, those friends, I'm so thankful for them and for my parents and even my siblings too. They were so big, and so I can't advocate enough to say that whoever that person might be in your life, like be willing to take that step. Be willing to just open up to them and ask them for help. Like, there is no shame in asking for help.
That's a good thing for men, because like we had talked about earlier in the episode, being a man and asking for help is not the easiest thing, even if it's instructions, something as simple as instructions in a IKEA table.
Exactly.
However, I like to watch a YouTube video to see how things are done.
100%.
That's the visual in me.
Absolutely.
I'm the kind of guy that goes, yeah, I don't want to read the instructions. Anybody got a video on how to do this?
Yeah.
Because it's a lot easier.
For sure. Just give me the how-to on this little part and I'll be golden kind of thing. Yeah, absolutely. If I can just say anything to, my fellow man, it's okay to ask for help. Like, there's no shame in it. And if I can be that for just one person, that would be awesome. Like, I would be more than happy to be that for somebody. If somebody needs to talk to somebody and not feel any pressure to, any judgment, anything like that, I would love to be that for somebody. So feel free to reach out if you need to.
I think you hit it on the head right there. It's the judgment portion that most people, I don't even think it's men, it's everyone that, if I'm going to talk to this person, are they judging me? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you get that feeling if you just, even if it's not something of mental health, it's just anything, you just kind of, the people that you can kind of trust as like, yeah, I can trust that person. Whatever I say, they're most likely not judging me. But then you have those other people like, I feel like they're judging me right now as I'm talking, and it might not even be something special.
Right.
So now I want to go on to, you've told us about how you've been handling things. How are things going now for you?
Yeah. Where I am at currently is,
getting flies on you.
Flies
other than that. They love
other than
you.
Flies,
you're
getting
so much love.
It's a good
here.
Thing. A glass half full.
Beer half full.
Beer half full. Exactly. So where things are at now, for a stretch, I was taking a medication in general, it's called Prozac. That's like the high-level name, I guess. But that helps you kind of level off your levels of serotonin.
Okay.
And so that can help you keep from getting too low, because if you get too low, with your serotonin, you might fall into that depressive state or super anxious state. I haven't taken that for probably 6 months to a year now.
Okay.
So I've been in a much better place where I don't feel the need to take that anymore.
Sure.
And so, yeah, it's been a process, but and there will still be times, and I have no doubt down the road I'll have episodes where, again, I get into kind of one of these holes. Now I know that I know what those feelings are. I can better identify them. I know the people I can lean on, and I know that they will be there for me to help me stand when I can't on my own. I know different, little skills, or I know to just stick to the things that I know fill me up and make me feel fulfilled. I feel like also a big thing for anybody is just feeling purpose in life too. I feel like it's so easy to feel like you're just wandering. And so that's been a big thing for me lately is just trying to better identify what that purpose might be. And I have felt like kind of a calling that if I can better advocate for mental health or men's mental health, that, you know, that might be part of it. And so I'm just so appreciative to, you know, be able to continue to talk about mental health on your podcast here and, you know, spread that it's okay to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to pursue help, and that your experience is valid. So
sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And is there something that you do, if you can't talk to someone, is there something that you do that helps you come out of maybe your funk that you're having? Is there something that you can do self-wise?
Yeah, 100%. I think the biggest thing for me when I'm really in a funk and I'm trying to get myself out of it is being active. Like, and if I can go for a walk every day, mm-hmm. and even like listen to some music, maybe listen to a podcast, mm-hmm. Cruise and Cruise. if I can
plug.
Do, yeah, a little plug on your yep. own show.
On my own show.
if I can do something active, that helps a ton.
Yeah.
And even just the time spent, like, I feel like that time spent when you're being active, you almost are able to not resolve whatever's going on, but it helps you feel more resolution about the sure. thing that you're dealing with. And so I think there's, again, a lot of good things and a lot of power in being active when you're not feeling the greatest.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I teach health class to middle schoolers, mm-hmm. and I always say, you know, if you're having a stressful time, whatever it might be, sometimes stress and anxiety go hand in hand with each other, it seems like. You know, go do something, whether it's go for a walk, take your, and I tell kids, you probably have an animal, take your dog for a walk,
yeah.
go play at the park, go shoot hoops by yourself for 10, 15 minutes even, come back to whatever it is, and then you may feel a sense of calm, even mm-hmm. though you got your heart rate going. There's always something to be said about being active. Yeah, I always feel like being active a little bit always will help you maybe relieve some stress or anxiety, and then come back to the problem and see where you're feeling at that point. Now, I don't, as far as I know, I don't struggle from mental health at all.
Sure.
But from what I can try to help kids with, I know when I go to the gym and when I go to the gym, it sucks. I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, this doesn't feel good, tearing my muscles apart,
right.
being out of breath. That doesn't feel great. Mm-hmm. But when I'm done, when I'm walking out, I got out of the sauna, whatever it is, I feel great.
Oh, yeah.
100%. So you got to push yourself through the pain, the struggle, and then all of a sudden you feel good. And I feel like I've already accomplished something. So when it comes to the school year, I go to the gym at 5 in the morning. I'm at school by 7:10. I already feel like I've accomplished something in that day. To me, everything else under that is easy.
Yeah.
Because the hardest part of my day is out of the way.
100%,
so yeah. I always tell my kids, you know, try to do something like that, because you get your mental, you get endorphins going through, feeling really good about things, and then maybe you're able to think about something in a different aspect rather than negative, 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 negative. You might go, ooh, wait a second. I think about this in a different aspect. So I don't know if that's anything, because I don't struggle from this, but it's sure. my best I can do from yeah. a health standpoint is just
absolutely.
Say, be active. And you just said, be active.
Yeah,
go
absolutely.
Do something.
Yeah, I think that sense of accomplishment is big.
Yeah.
Like, especially, you know, even just day to day, whether you're struggling with mental health issues or not, like that sense of accomplishment is huge. Because like yep. you said, the hardest part of your day is out of the way. You've achieved something right off the bat, or whether yep. it's at the end of the day. And I think, again, another thing for me when I've been dealing and trying to navigate some of these struggles, like when I get stuck in these depression ruts, is to have structure and feel like I can have that sense of fulfillment, achievement, purpose. And I even have a big, you know, whiteboard with my calendar on it. I have my markers and everything. If I can check stuff off, that helps me. That
yeah.
helps me see. And it's a very visual, again, a visual
yep.
learner. It's a very visual way to show that, hey, I did something today. I accomplished something. I checked that box. And it kind of helps, it, whether it's subconscious or not, it helps to build that that positive energy going forward. And I think that's a really good thing to
what
do.
What are some things that make you feel accomplished in a day? Is there anything that makes you, yeah, yep, If I get that done, I feel good about myself, even if everything else went bad.
It's for sure a workout. Yep. Doesn't matter what it is, whether it's going for a walk for an hour, lifting weights, shooting hoops,
yep,
whatever it might be, 100% workout will do it. If I can finish a project on my house, I'm notorious for starting 36 different projects and not finishing one.
Just a bunch of things unaccomplished.
I've been 90% done with my kitchen for months now.
Sure.
Just can't quite put the button on it. I think, man, even what I was trying to do for a while, and I need to try to refocus on it, is try to do something active, try to read, and then try to also do something creative.
Yep.
Like, if I can check those three boxes, like, I feel so fulfilled with my day. My work day could be terrible. Anything else could have gone wrong in the day. But if I can check those three things off, like, man, I feel accomplished.
Right.
So
that's fantastic that you already know your things that you want to do that make you feel good, whether the day went by crappy at work or not. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Anything else that that men should know about mental health? Obviously being able to come out and feel comfortable and be vulnerable. Is there something else that men should know about mental health?
I would just say that you're not alone in this battle.
There's others out there, huh?
There's others out there dealing. There's a lot of people dealing with similar things. This is a fact I heard. I don't have a source for it, but I've seen similar sources. The leading cause of death for men from the ages of 21 to 45 is them taking their own life. The number one cause. I checked, and then under 45, any male under 45, it's the second leading cause.
Wow.
And it was really eye-opening for me. And that's a lot of people deciding to end their sentences. It's a lot of people deciding to end their stories right there. And that's a pretty powerful statistic to just show that there is a lot of people fighting this battle.
Sure.
Like, there's a lot of people that are in dark places. There's a lot of people battling all different kinds of just different battles. I mean, it can look like a whole variety of things.
Yep.
And just know that you are not alone, and know that it's okay to seek help. That's the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway, I think. If anybody can remember anything from this episode, that's it. It's okay to get help. You're not alone.
Do you think that men's mental health has become more aware in the last 10 to 20 years than prior because of maybe social media coming out and being part of, I'm able to open up and say things? Because I feel like prior to this, things would just be, like you said earlier, brushed under the rug. You're a man. Deal with it.
Right.
You got to do what you got to do. Just get over it. Push on. Do you think things have been, you think this has become more relevant because people are able to say things out on the internet now at all? Or?
I definitely think that is the case.
Okay.
I think it's one of the bright spots of social media. I mean, I feel like there's also a lot of negatives to social media days, but
I think it's like 50-50. But.
Yeah, there's a lot of good and a lot of bad too. But I definitely do feel like the platforms are out there for people to be more open about it and to learn more about it themselves. So I think that has been a really great thing as far as as far as social media goes.
Yep.
And just general awareness in the last 5, 10, 20 years, I do feel like progress is being made in that arena.
Yep.
Even just mental health in general.
Sure.
I feel like it's becoming more and more destigmatized, I guess you might say. I can't speak to this. I can't base this on anything for sure, but I get the sense, too, that even from, a healthcare perspective, there are way more services available from a mental health perspective. Like, there's so much more out there for you to get help with. It's just a matter of asking for help.
Okay.
So
now I saw that there's also some online therapy as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Have you dove into any of that kind of stuff at all, or?
So I haven't myself. That being said, one of the counselors I mentioned before, I had met with him like through Zoom calls and stuff like that.
Sure.
But there are different sites out there where you can talk to somebody virtually. And actually, one of my good friends works as a counselor and provides that service from, you know, the counselor side. So people will call her, video chat with her, and you know, just talk. And so I know that that's a, there are a lot of really great services out there. Certainly can just, man, this, I'm sorry, this fly.
Dude, I know, I got some fly strips in here.
Yeah, no, you're good.
Well, one of the advertisements I hear a lot of is, I think, BetterHelp.com. Is that one of them?
Yep, so that's the one my friend works from.
Okay.
On the backside, so.
Is that something that your friend works for the company, or?
She does, yep.
Okay,
She cool. provides counseling and therapy services through BetterHelp.
Sure. So. And that's basically just an online Zoom type? Ordeal?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, it's just online. Okay. It's like a video chat. It's a little obviously easier to access. As far as, I guess one thing I will mention is when I did my counseling, the counselor that I saw, well, one of the counselors I saw, they accepted insurance and it covered about half.
Okay.
One of the other counselors I saw did not accept insurance. So it was just out of pocket.
Sure.
And then lastly, the counselor pastor that I saw with my church didn't charge anything. So,
okay.
If you are plugged into a church, that can be a great first step too, is just talk to some, a pastor that maybe offers counseling services.
Yeah.
That can be a really good step too.
Yep.
So,
well, this is all great information because like I said earlier, June is the Men's Mental Health
100%.
Awareness
yeah.
Month, and you coming on and being open about yourself is just fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
And not even hiding anything, just saying this is what it's like. Is there anything else you want to add to your story or anything else that's going on?
Man, I think maybe one thing I will add is it's so important to be able to give yourself grace. Like if you're falling short in some area of life, or you feel like you're not enough, or you don't have purpose, like you can't be so hard on yourself.
Sure.
Like giving yourself grace and showing yourself mercy is so big. And then, you know, again, I come from my background of faith. Like that's a big part of what I believe in and what God provides. But again, I think if just being able to give yourself grace is huge.
Yeah.
So be able to forgive yourself. There's a video I've seen where it was similar, a kind of a similar setup with a podcast, and a guest calls in and he says, if I talked to anybody the way that I talk about myself, I would punch that person straight in the face. Like there, you can't be so hard on yourself.
Sure.
Because we are our biggest critics.
Oh, absolutely.
Constantly. We are so hard on ourselves, and we chronically will just tear ourselves down when it, in reality, if I were to talk to myself, like I would be trying to lift that person up like crazy.
Yeah.
Like that would be what I'm trying to do all the time. And so I think reframing that can be so big.
Yeah.
So.
And I think finding someone that you can truly trust in is a huge benefit to anybody that maybe, even if they're not struggling with men's mental health, even just struggling for something on a day-to-day basis.
100%.
Be like, oh,
absolutely.
Man, this stinks. I need to talk to my buddy or
yeah.
wife, whatever it might be. I think that's really, really key and important, but not feeling judged, like
yep.
you said, because sometimes I feel like that's the hardest part about people and men specific is, what do they think about me?
Right.
That's
yeah.
tough.
Am I going to be judged? Am I going to,
yep.
are they going to cast, you know, whatever it might be. It you know, you just don't want it to come back to bite you, really.
Yep.
And so it can be really tough finding that person that you feel like you can confide in.
Yep.
And if you maybe don't feel like you have that person, then potentially, you know, taking that step towards a counselor, therapist might be
sure.
a really good step. But again, I think just having that, even if it's just that one friend or a group of friends, maybe you guys even hold each other accountable in certain regards. Maybe,
yep.
you know, you're willing to share something and talk about your struggle. They talk to you about theirs. It can be a really good exchange that way.
Sure.
So just being able to find that connection and being willing to just be super open with somebody it's like, to me, that's the most authentic and genuine way to connect with another human. Like just being as open as you can.
Yep.
So
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add to this episode at all?
Man, I don't think so.
Anything men need to know? I mean,
yeah, I feel like we touched on a lot.
You did. I think this is awesome. This is, I can't imagine anybody else being able to come on here and just be open about this kind of subject.
Oh man, I appreciate it. I'm happy to be here. And if my experience can help anybody listening to just feel like they can take that step to ask for help, then mission accomplished. Like yes. That's all I care about.
I think so. A big thing that I just took from you is have your semicolon, don't make your period.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially, there's so much more to life, especially at our young age.
For sure.
You're at, what, 32 almost?
Yes. Yep.
And I'm at 36 going on 37. There's a lot more to life going on.
Oh, absolutely.
And you have so much more of your book to be written out there.
100%. There's, I mean, you have a purpose.
Yep.
There is a purpose, and whether you can see it right now or not,
yeah,
you will find it.
You know, every good book has its climax, you know, the tragedy climax, and then it ends.
For sure.
We're nowhere near done, so.
Oh, absolutely.
I appreciate you coming on the podcast today.
Absolutely.
And opening up.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add to this?
Man, I don't think so. I think just like fantastic. You said, yeah, let the beauties and tragedies coexist and just exactly. Live life on the ups and downs and just be willing to open up and know that you're not alone.
Man, I want to thank you for also bringing this amazing beer.
Hey, cheers.
The Haze Cadet from Toppling Goliath, also with Boulevard. Dude, I've been just digging this beer.
Dude,
I don't know.
It's really good.
It's the craziest looking beer can I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's, I love it.
When you sent me this video or the photo of this, I'm like, never had it. I've never heard of this. I have a feeling it just came out.
It very well might.
Where'd you find it from?
Where was I? MGM.
MGM.
Maybe. I think that's where I was.
Yeah. I mean, they carry a lot of Toppling Goliath
stuff.
They
do. Yeah,
so.
I think that's where I was.
Yeah. Well, thank you for bringing this. And also for those who are listening, you can find Brews and Crews podcast on any streaming platform, audio-wise, whether it's Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, whatever it is. And then also, if you want to watch this to see all the flies that were on Joe's face, tune into YouTube. You can see all the I think it was two flies that were flying around your face all episode long. But I want to thank Joe for coming on in. I want to give him a big cheers.
Hey, cheers.
For being a man.
Well, thank
and
you,
this
Chris.
This is Brews and Crews Podcast. We will see you next week. Cheers.
Hey, cheers, y'all.